Oh my goodness, you guys. It has been almost an entire year since my last podcast episode. As you know, 2020 happened, and I was forced into my apartment that does not have ideal recording circumstances. But I decided, you know what? This is important to me, and I really miss being able to podcast. So I hope you will give me a little bit of grace if there are some loud noises in the background, that New York City soundtrack that just goes off unexpectedly. And I am so happy to be back. I'm so happy to be sharing this really great episode with you guys today. I am bringing on one of my favorite people in the world, and I'm sure we're going to have an absolute blast talking about this absolutely insane year that we have all had. So welcome back and let's get into the show. Welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. My name is Davina Faust and I am a life transformation expert. My goal for this podcast is to bring you some positivity every single week and to inspire you to recognize that your struggles are just part of your story. I have completely changed my life and I just want you to know that you can do the same thing. I'll also be bringing on some really incredible people who are just like you, who have learned to turn their own pain into power. Hey guys, welcome back to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. I am very excited for this episode. First of all, because it's been a long frickin' time. But second of all, I have one of my favorite people in the entire world on today. And he's one of my favorite people to talk about life with. We have a lot of really great conversations. And as we all know, 2020 was a shit show. But on this show, I always like to find the deeper meanings and the lessons and try to put a positive spin on things. So without further ado, I'm not going to reveal his last name because he is a school teacher and I respect his privacy, but you could find him on the drag streets as Anita Cocktail. This is my absolute best friend, my soul gate, Brian. Welcome to Turning Pain into Power podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, of course. And if we haven't mentioned already, you should probably go ahead and grab a drink because this is going to be our happy hour. Just catching up as bosom buddies like we are. And also just a little side note, I might have some street noise coming in because New York City, that's my life. But anyway, enough about that. I thought we could start this episode by just kind of taking it back to March because I haven't recorded in the past year and people know literally nothing about you. So maybe we could talk about your life right before the pandemic and how exactly everything shifted for you.
Yeah, it was a major change and shift. For the audience out there, I'm currently working as an instructor and music director at a college. So I was teaching on campus. In addition, I also work at a local theater where I music direct and teach classes for children in voice, musical theater, and drama. So, you know, a lot of my job is being with people, especially, you know, working in the arts. At the college, like I said, I'm a music director, I direct the choir, I give voice lessons and all that stuff. So when the pandemic hit, I believe our college closed, a lot of people closed on March 13th. And I want to say we closed on the 11th or 12th was my last day on campus. I was also in the midst of music directing a production that was about to open in 2 weeks at the theater. So life kind of turned on its head a bit. It took a little bit of time, but one of the things that, talking about things that we had to learn in this year, was how do we continue to engage in arts education when so much of that is done face-to-face? Mm. You know, it's really hard to be a part of a choir. It's really hard to rehearse a musical, you know, when you can't be together. So unfortunately, you know, our production was indefinitely postponed, which really stunk for our students because it was a production that featured over 100 kindergarten through 12th grade students. And so we had a lot of disappointed kids, in addition to the college students, some of which I'd been working with for several years. And I'm a senior advisor, and my senior was planning a musical review for her final project, which ended up, we transitioned to being online and you know, a virtual video, but like with voice lessons and final voice recitals and concerts and stuff. It was a big change. So for me personally, I had to kind of rewrite my curriculum in some ways. And to be honest, figure out how to do a lot of this over the computer between Teams and Zoom and things like that. So that was a big learning curve for me.
Jeez. And I can totally relate to like the postponed indefinitely feeling because, well, I can kind of talk about my story too, but that was my cabaret. Like I was literally going to put the show on March 28th. And then
girl, I know I was supposed to be there.
Yeah. You Brian was going to make a cameo in my cabaret and then it never happened. So yeah, it's just like, it sucks. It's because there's literally like, there's no way to make it better. You know what I mean? You just kind of have to like roll with the punches there. But for me, so I was extremely lucky and I still am extremely lucky to be working for the company that I am. I'm not going to name them publicly because they're really big on their professional reputation. So I totally respect them there. And you know, I'm kind of a hot mess. So, but for me, so I've been working for this company and they have an office in Asia. So they were very well aware of COVID-19 back in like November. And so this was a conversation we started having November, December is like, well, what if it eventually is going to come to the US? How is it going to affect us? All these things. And so in January, February, they started rolling out laptops and monitors for us. And they were just like, hey, we're going to start testing work from home. We don't know how serious this is going to be, how long this is going to last, but we want to be prepared, which like, thank freaking God.
Yes, preparedness. Good
yeah,
for them.
Yeah. So then my work from home anniversary is March 13th. So that's when I started working from home. I was set in my day job, but I also was a part-time fitness instructor. I was working teaching classes four times a week, and I was feeling kind of burned out from it, but I was also just like, you know what? This is something for me to look forward to. I loved my students. I loved just being in person with them and having that opportunity to be at the front of the room and really use my personality because my outlet was being a fitness instructor. And unfortunately, I was supposed to teach a class on the night that the gyms were shut down. So in a way, it was a lot of anxiety was reduced because I was so scared of going in to teach just because I was working from home already for my full-time job. So I was a bit nervous to bend the rules and go teach a class in person when I'm not supposed to be around people, you know? So that was a loss that I still haven't gotten over. The gym, unfortunately, had to lay off all of its employees. And then they slowly started rehiring people back in like August or September. But group exercise classes are not coming back for the foreseeable future. So that was a loss in income, but also just like I said, an emotional loss. I really loved all of my students and not connected to all of them on social media. I have been able to track down a few and I've been virtually teaching to them, but it's just not the same.
I completely understand because that's it, more or less it was like you were taking the words out of my mouth because, you know, working at a college, you have the summers off because I typically don't teach summer courses. I'm just a spring and fall semester instructor. So I fill my summers by teaching summer camps at, you know, local theaters and things like that. And typically I teach anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks over the summer and all summer camps were canceled. So, I mean, the theater that I work at did a great job with trying to put together a virtual program. So we, instead of it being this 4 to 6 weeks where I'm there, you know, from with students from 9 o'clock in the morning till at least 3 in the afternoon, we did this kind of virtual program for 2 weeks where students could kind of pick and choose different classes that they wanted to partake in, whether it was, you know, singing or movement or drama or improv or whatever it was. But it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't the same. And especially working at the theater, these are all kindergarten through 12th grade students. So I'm not on, typically I don't have a big social media presence in the first place, but I'm especially not friends with
12 of
my
olds.
Students. Yeah.
I would hope not.
Yeah. And I typically don't even, you know, friend their parents or anything, because I try to keep it as professional as possible. So they have my email address and can always contact me that way. But, and some students did, which was great, but it's, I think a lot of companies, a lot of places are doing things that, like you said, are moving in the right direction, and we're trying to compensate for what we lost in the sense of that physical presence. But it's not quite the same. But we're working on
it. You know what it is too, is I, as a fitness instructor, I need the energy of other people. And I've been struggling with this virtually, and I've been open about this with my students, because they all go on mute when I'm teaching so that, you know, my camera stays in the forefront, and not hearing that little woo and not hearing that little, yeah, I'm dying, but I'm great. Or, you know, just that verbal feedback and feeling their energy and feeling how hard they're working. It's,
yes,
it's so, so hard to do without it. And another,
it's like
thing,
trying to direct a choir online, you know. Yeah. Like I have all of my students, you know, they're required to be there and with their videos on, but they all have to mute while I'm sitting with my camera on playing the piano and teaching parts. They all have to mute themselves. And it's like, I've again, it's been a learning process, but you know, over the course of 2020, some positives have come out of it, in the sense that I've learned to be much more proficient at audio editing and video editing, because right. Instead of having a choir, I actually I don't know if I have it on my computer, it might be on my external hard drive, but we did try at one point to all sing together on Zoom.
Oh,
and
no.
My Lord, it was a shit show. We I recorded it, and we cackled. Like, we started singing in like 3 or 4 part harmony, and with the delay, and because it's on video, you start to see people break like every yeah. half a second or so, and by, you know, 15 seconds in, the whole choir is just cackling, because yeah. like it was a mess. But I also learned, you know, how to use breakout rooms. So
oh,
like,
yeah,
on Zoom,
you're getting fancy there.
Oh, you know, a little hair toss, you know, toss action.
But do you have a Zoom professional account? Because that's like the Oprah level, and I can say that I'm there. I have a Zoom professional now.
I do. I had to with how much I'm using it between my private voice lessons and, you know, classes yeah. at the theater, and even like my college prefers us to use Teams, but which I use, you know, at times. But I've become much more proficient at Zoom, because 2 of the 3 places that I'm employed use it. So I've been, even with my college students, using Zoom a lot. And that was one way to get around like altos, you know, alto twos, alto ones, soprano twos, soprano ones. You know, I've recorded little practice tracks. I'm going to throw you into breakout rooms, listen to the piano recording that I made while I jump into the other breakout rooms, and have people unmute so I can,
that's,
you know, hear
so
them.
Smart.
And
because I was just thinking, how do you teach someone to sing if you can't hear them sing, you know?
Like, yeah, well, and like I said, that's why I'm not gonna lie, the end of the semester last year, because typically we have our concert the last weekend in April, so we stopped meeting in person, you know, middle of March, so we only had about like 4 weeks or so left up for rehearsal, you know, looking towards our concert, which obviously didn't end up happening. And so the spring semester for me was not my strongest work in the sense that I didn't know what the heck I was doing, you know? So
I feel like we all get like a life pass for whatever happened between March and June, because it's
yeah.
just everyone was walking around like a Sim with a giant question mark
yeah.
in their head, you know?
And to be honest, like, my college doesn't have a huge performing arts program. So the majority of my students that are in choir, that are in the musicals, that are taking voice lessons, they are not performing arts majors. And if they are, they may be double majoring or minoring, but the majority of them are like chemistry, nursing, pharmaceutical, you know, like they're all these different majors. So when the semester shifted in March, you know, mid-March to online, and all the grades have to be due by the end of April or first week of May, and everybody, you know, the world was turned on its head. The students, my choir and voice lessons and stuff were not the biggest priority.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which was completely different when we came back for the fall semester, because the fall semester, we knew that a lot of things, you know, were going to be online, especially when it came to my classes, you know, anything voice related, voice lessons, the choir, both the dean, the provost, and the president of the college, you know, said, we do not feel comfortable. We do not think it's safe to be singing in person, you know, groups of people right now. So I was told in August or something, you will definitely be online for those courses. So it gave me a little bit of time to really, and I had already been thinking since, you know, May, about like, how can I make this better? And what I immediately noticed was that even though it was online and it was different, the students were just so grateful to have an artistic outlet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, and even my PIO students, they're just so grateful for every single class. And that makes it so worthwhile to me. I think the last thing that I really wanted to touch on with my experience was just the loneliness. I have been somebody that has really only been in my apartment to sleep. Like, I have been working extremely long hours. And then if I wasn't working really long hours, I was going to social events. I was really big in like some social communities, or I would just be at happy hour with a friend. I was always filling my time somehow. And so when that was taken away from me and I was forced to just stay in my little 600 square foot apartment by myself with one window, like, I have known loneliness and I have known depression, but I have ridden a wave in this pandemic that I never thought I would ride. And my parents, being, they live in a smaller town, so I could have moved back home. But for me, just technologically speaking, with everything that my job entails, it just made way more sense for me to stay put with my high-speed internet that I pay for and like all of my resources. If I need to run to Best Buy to grab something for work, I can. So I stayed put, and it was hard, but at the same time, I know what to do now. And I'm going to get into this when we go through our list, but I have a lot of really solid self-awareness now that I didn't have before. But yeah, that was something that was really, really real for me. And I know even you too, like, you and your husband have been very safe and you haven't had anyone over, even though his parents live right next door and probably don't do much themselves either. I'd love to hear your side of that.
Yeah, very relatable, in the sense that, you know me, I'm always busy. I typically work 6 days a week, you know, between the college and the theater. And I'm basically, you know, out of the house, like you said, most of the day. So definitely roller coaster of emotions and stuff, in the sense that even though with work, I'm constantly, I've had so much screen time, you know, in these past couple of months, that I don't know if you've felt this, but like, it is exhausting. And like, even though like, I'm so grateful to have, you know, a job and to still be doing what I love to do, you know, teaching performing art, it's very different when you're not in person. Like you, I kind of get my energy and thrive off of being with my students and, you know, hearing them sing, hearing the growth, being able to, in the moment, answer the question, fix their posture, do things that you can't do when you're not
in
person.
I just pictured you slapping someone on the back, like, stand up.
No, I use my whip for that. No, just kidding.
I'm keeping that in, by the way.
No, all jokes aside, I spend most days still seeing a lot of people over the screen, It's not the same. I miss hugs. I miss karaoke.
Oh my God.
You know, just getting together with friends and chatting and playing games and stuff. So while I'm grateful for all the Zooming and, you know, Zoom Jackbox parties and, you know, things like that, it's not the same. And you do have to learn to listen to yourself and I know I've had to learn different tactics on how to stay positive and how to keep the drive of wanting to get up in the morning, to want to be the best teacher, you know, instructor that I could be, and still be a good friend and a good partner and a good, and just good at living life. Because there are some days where it's tough, because I think a lot of people think of me as an extrovert. I kind of consider myself like an extroverted introvert, you know,
like an outgoing introvert. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I love and need my personal time, mm-hmm. you know, like, and even if it's just, you know, working all day and then being at rehearsal until 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, not getting home until late. And even if I have to be up early the next morning, I like to take, you know, an hour at night by myself to just, you know, sit in, you know, I call it my man cave, my bottom floor, and just go downstairs. And whether it's watch a random episode of something or listen to an audio book or read something, or I just need that time to
reset.
Yes. And to decompress, you know, before I go to bed, so I can get a good night's sleep, or try to at least, before doing it all again the next day. But I've had so much alone time, you know, in this pandemic, that it's like, when is too much? When is it too much?
Right. When I tell you, I did not have a hug for 3.5 months. I will never take a hug for granted ever again. Like when everything is all over and I have 3 doses of the vaccine, I am hugging like the post office worker. Like, I'm serious. I cannot go this long without a hug again. And, you know, I get one every once in a while now, but I do feel intensely grateful for the people that have been in my life and have been checking in on me, like you being one of them with our Disney Plus nights, and we get drunk and watch Cheetah Girls, and it's amazing. And then, you know, I have a friend that lives sort of nearby, and she has access to a rooftop. And she told me, she said, "Davina, if you ever need just fresh air and a change of scenery, please come and use my rooftop. Even if I'm busy, I want you to know that you have this." So just having people like that, having people that check in on you, I think is so valuable. And I feel very blessed that I don't have thousands of people knocking at my door asking if I'm okay, but the people that have shown up for me have meant so much to me. So I think that might be a nice little segue into this, things that we've learned. How many things did you come up with? Did you come up with 5 or 10?
I have a lettered, numbered, bulleted list in my head of things to talk about.
Okay, because I have a list of 10, and I was just like, if we both have 10, we can call this like the 20 things we learned in 2020, but it really doesn't matter.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so hopefully you came up with 10, but we'll find out.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, so what was one of yours?
Like I briefly mentioned earlier, one of the things I'm really grateful that I learned in 2020 is that I've been able to still feel like a productive teacher, in that I've learned how to use audio editing and video editing software. It was something that I really had no experience with, but I still wanted my students to have an outlet, you know, to sing and to share what they've been working on with their families. So instead of having an end of the semester concert, what we did was, as I, you know, taught the songs, because it's a course, you know, for the college, I have to give them grades. There has to be some type of, you know, accountability, you know, for them taking this course. So their evaluations are basically them sending in recordings of themselves singing their voice parts to me. And I check in, you know, I don't grade on talent, but I grade on effort. And I can tell, you know, with our system that we use at the college, how much time you're going on my website, you know, with the practice tracks and seeing you in rehearsals over a couple of weeks, like, are you putting an effort? Are you growing? Are you whatever? So that's kind of how I grade. But I decided to use these evaluations and have them do these video and audio recordings and then put together little videos at least once a month of the songs we've been working on, so we could put them on YouTube, on social media, so that they could share them with their family and friends.
That's so cute. I'm glad that you're doing that for them.
Yeah. So again, it was a great, brilliant idea I had, you know, over the summer. And then it came time to, you know, put it into practice. And I shat myself a little because I was like, how, it's a great idea, but how do I make it work? And so I'm just grateful that I guess I had the opportunity and was put in the position to have to do it, but because now these are new tools, you know, that I have in my teacher toolkit.
Totally. And I think that was actually one of the things that I have on my list. And it kind of goes a few different ways. By the way, for the listeners, we did not discuss what is on each other's list. So this, any similarities just further proves that we're soulmates. But so I wrote down, being willing to learn is more important than anything. And I put in parentheses BLM, because we've spent this whole time so far talking about COVID. But another thing that really came to the surface and came up for clearing this year was this systemic racism problem that we have in the country, and Black Lives Matter. What does that mean? And so for me, as somebody who grew up in rural Pennsylvania, I've always known that I'm an ally, and I've always known that I try to be a loving, supportive person, but I just really felt like it was time for me to dig in deeper and do the work and learn and figure out how I could be a better ally and also be true to myself. Because I think, you know, I have friends that are super loud and outgoing, and they're at the front of every single protest, and I am not necessarily the type of person that would do that. So I worried a lot about being performative as an ally. And so do I change? How can I be better? And so we were willing to learn these tactical, technical things, but then we're also willing to learn personal growth.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. And again, I'm so grateful for the people that I have in my life, what I call my chosen family, because we are like-minded in that sense, in that there, I think being a performer growing up, I was taught that constructive criticism is an artist's best friend, because it lets you know what you're doing well, but also what you need to work on. So I've taken that into my teaching career, but just also into my life in general, is that we are all human beings. None of us are perfect. We can always continue to learn and grow, but you have to be willing to learn and grow. You have to be willing to listen. And I did see earlier in 2020, you know, your social media presence and some of our other mutual friends, as well as some of my own. And it led me to think, because like you, I've always considered myself, you know, as a gay man who came from a very, I always, in the area I grew up, I felt like my family, and learned some things in 2020, you know, some of my family is still very closed-minded or whatever, what have you. I left the house at, you know, 18 and never went back home. And that's when I just so happens to be when I came out and started that new chapter in this journey we call life. And I've always thought of myself as being open-minded and accepting and an ally to anybody and everybody. You know, if you, I believe everybody deserves respect. Even if I don't like you, if we're not friends, I'm going to be respectful to you, because that's what human beings do. But one of the biggest things that I learned, you know, we're talking about our list, is that there's a difference between not being a racist and being anti racist. Right. And while I did see so many people showing their advocacy through either going out to protests, which I personally didn't feel safe doing, but I wanted to be, I wanted to do my part. And what I found for me, that was, you know, reading and talking. I joined a book club where the first book that we read and talked about was a book called So You Want to Talk About Race. And that opened my eyes to a lot of things that I, as a white male, would have never thought about, or because I that's not my experience. And right. So having the opportunity to self-reflect, but to also chat and learn and grow with people has been a really wonderful experience. It's unfortunate that it had to come about the way that it did. Right. But I do think we all have a lot of learning and growing to still do.
I'm also really frustrated by the fact that it became politicized, because it's a human rights issue. Black Lives Matter is not Democrat versus Republican.
Correct.
Black Lives Matter is Black Lives Matter. Human lives matter. I have the chills now I felt kind of the same way when it came to the protests, in that I was so nervous to go and see my family in Pennsylvania that I was staying isolated. But then who would I to be somebody at a protest when I haven't even seen my family? You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel in alignment with me at that time, but I did make donations. My book profits, I gave 10% to PC Kids Mental Health, which helps children in Minneapolis have mental health resources that are struggling. That's the home of where this all happened. So I've been doing my best in the best ways I know how, and I look forward to continuing that and to hopefully being more involved in the future in my own way. So what's another thing on your list that you learned?
I've learned to acknowledge things in myself that I don't like in other people. Do you know what I mean? What I mean by that is that I, for example, without calling anybody out,
call them out, no balls, you won't.
there's this person in my life that there was this behavior that they had, like a certain thing that they would do or whatever, that I was like, I don't like that, and that's not something that I want. You know, why am I going to have a relationship with you if that's the way that you're going to act or whatever? And then I noticed, wait, I've done things like that before too. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. And so because there's been so much screen time with Zooming with, for the listeners out there.
Our brains are so fried.
Yeah, for the listeners out there that don't know, I have a huge family. My immediate family alone, I have, I'm one of 7 or 8 siblings, I forget. plus we have all of the husbands, boyfriends, wives. So I've been talking to a lot of people, you know, and that's not even my chosen family, you know, the people that I really spend a lot of time with, like you and others. So because I've been more available, I guess, not that I've had more time, but, you know, when we're living our regular life in 2019 or early 2020, it's like when I get home from rehearsal at 10 o'clock at night or whatever, it's like normal people don't have the same work hours as me. You know, but because of the situation and life changing, I'm able to now communicate with people in California a lot more. So, you know, even though it's 10 or 11 o'clock here, it's 7 or 8 o'clock over there. So I can chat with people, you know, and it's not a burden or inconvenience, you know, especially because I'm a night owl, you know.
Yeah.
So I think because I've been spending more time communicating with people, I've learned to be a better communicator.
Yeah.
Especially because I've, like I said, I noticed that if there were ways that somebody talked to me or ways that they phrased things and I didn't like or appreciate it, it led me to thinking, you know, do I ever say or do things even if it's unintentional, and because that's what it was, this other person was doing these things unintentionally. So I had to bring it to their attention and say, can you not do that with me? But mm-hmm. that then led me to think, do I do that to other people?
Right.
And I did find with one very special person, you know, my husband, there were sometimes ways that I communicated. It's like, it goes back to that whole love language thing. I don't know if the listeners know, you know, about that.
I think I've talked about it before, but
I think so too. I know we've talked about it. So I think, you know, boiling it down to what did I learned to be a better communicator.
That's so amazing.
And a better listener. Cause that's really what it comes down to too, is you got to be able to listen well, to communicate well.
Truth. And so I'm going to kill two birds with one stone, because I think what you just said kind of knocked out two of the things that these aren't even things, brand new things that I've learned, but things that I've relearned. The first one I heard for the first time maybe 2 days ago, so like squeezing it in the last few days in 2020, was don't manage their behavior, manage your expectations. So what pressure are you putting on somebody to respond in a certain way when they have no idea what your expectations are, if that makes sense? So that was the one thing that I learned. And number two that I learned, talking about how you were saying you communicate with all these people at all these different hours of the day, I've learned in 2020 that emotional boundaries can save relationships. So for me, I unfortunately got into a pretty big fight with one of my friends this past year. And I realized that it all came down to me not being clear about my emotional boundaries, where I was just emotionally exhausted. Like I had too much screen stimulation, and I was really anxious about traveling home to see my family for my grandmother's birthday. And then it was also the same week that Breonna Taylor's murderers were acquitted. And it was just a lot riding on my shoulders, but I had a friend want to talk to me, and I was just like, well, I have to be a good friend and show up because I didn't do it last week. And so not honoring the emotional boundary meant that I wasn't being the best version of myself. So then when we got into a small disagreement, it escalated and I reacted in ways that I normally wouldn't. And she also was combative based on what I was giving her. And so it all could have been avoided if I had just said, listen, I really can't do this today, and I'm so sorry for letting you down, but I know that I'm not the best version of myself right now. So just having that self-awareness, and like you said, being willing to just self-assess and say, where am I at right now?
Yes. You know? And that leads me to my next thing. And it's so silly that you have, to me, when I finally quote unquote learned this, it seems so silly to me, but a very good dear best friend of mine who is a therapist, she's been saying it to me for years, and it wasn't until I didn't really put it into place until 2020 that she was like, you need to schedule time for yourself. If you find, not everybody has to do that, because some people do it naturally, but she's like, Brian, somebody like you, and I'm saying this to you, Davina, somebody like you, that we constantly keep ourselves busy and active and whatever, it's like we sometimes forget to take care of ourselves or to just schedule time to relax. So she was like, you know, between my job and my private practice and things, like I literally put in, you know, in my calendar on my phone where I keep everything. She was like, I would schedule an hour this day or whatever it was to say, you know, this is my me time. Mm-hmm. And I had never thought that I needed that or wanted that or whatever, but I think again it comes back to just managing your life, your health, because I know I'm a better person when I am mentally and emotionally and physically rested, and when I take the time to have that decompression time on my own. And it doesn't mean I don't like or want to be around somebody, it just means I need me space, time.
Yeah, you need, you know, emotional space.
So I've been putting into my calendar, this is this time of day, I am turning my phone off. That's leads me to another thing I learned, is I learned I don't have to have my phone with me all the time.
Yes.
And I don't have to immediately respond to somebody. I was always that person that I had my phone with me all the time. And I think people knew that. My friends, my family, my coworkers, everybody knew that I was always on my phone, all of my emails, because I have personal email, my college email, my private lesson email. You know, I have different email addresses that all come to my phone. And I think people are so used to instant gratification, you know, and instant responses and immediate feedback. And mm-hmm. I've learned that just because somebody wants that, it doesn't mean that I'm required to give it to them. Truth. And that I can take time to respond to a text message, a voicemail, a work email, whatever it is. And that just because I have this technology doesn't mean that I'm bound to it.
Right. And this is something that I actively am still working on, because I am in isolation. So for me, having that social media and having that phone in my hand is kind of like my access to the outside world. But I also just need to realize that that could also be a phone call. That could also be going to on a walk and seeing somebody in person from a distance. And I wrote down on 10 things I relearned in 2020. The 10th thing was I need to read more books, because it's like a vacation from the phone. It's a vacation from the screen time to look at a piece of paper with words on it. Like, it's something new, and you can get the same sort of value and excitement from reading something off of a page. It's fascinating. But and kind of like you said too, with having to schedule your time, one of my other things that I had listed is that my morning routine is my me time. And I can tell the difference between when I honor that space for myself and when I don't. So if I do not, I mean, my morning routine is a little extreme because I'm a millennial single woman. So like, I go on a walk, I meditate, I pray, I journal, I mm-hmm. do a lot of things that a lot of people would be like, whoa, that's crazy. I can maybe only do one of those. But I notice a difference between when I hit snooze and when I get up and get some fresh air, and it is a world of a difference. And I think the last thing, well, it's not the last thing on my list, but the last thing that relates to what you just said that I learned this year is joy is a good enough reason. So like, if I want to sing my face off for 30 minutes for no reason other than to make myself feel better, then I can do that. I feel like with somebody, and maybe you're the same way, I've always been looking to be productive. What am I doing that's productive?
Yes. My husband and I literally just had this conversation, not for the first time, but re-had this conversation yesterday, I want to say, because it's like when we have a day off, typically coming from somebody that works 6 days a week, you know, my day off is a lot of the times is Sunday. So Sunday used to be the day, you know, we're talking, you know, pre-COVID, pre-quarantine. Sunday was the day where I did all my laundry, went grocery shopping, cleaned the house, lesson planned. Like, I had lists of things to do on my day off. And even coming into our present situation, even this little week between Christmas and New Year's, it's like I have time off right now. But even though I have time off, I felt like, you know, my husband and I, we were talking about how it's like, even though we have the time off, I have this voice in my head that's being mean to myself, that's saying these things about how, like, if you're just laying on the couch and you're not cleaning the house, you're not putting away Christmas decorations, you're not, you know, taking the recycling out, you're not getting ready for work on January 4th, then you're a piece of shit.
Right.
And it's like, no, you're not. Be kind to yourself and allow yourself time to have me time. You don't have to be productive all of the time. And that's something that I think I've been better at. I'm still working on it. And my husband is absolutely still working on it, because he, you know, he constantly feels like he has to be, I like the word that you use, like, productive. But you know what? You know what's productive sometimes is laying on the couch and doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, laying on the couch and listening to an audiobook like you said, reading, doing something, because while it may not be checking off something off your to-do list, what you're doing is again, giving yourself this mental or physical, you know, relaxation that's going to help you be more productive in the long run.
It taps into your happy endorphins. And like I said, I sing for 30 minutes a day and probably drive everyone here crazy, but I need that. I need that sense. I can feel my soul just like grow. And I don't want to say getting wings, because that's so like Red Bull gives you wings crap / Oprah in training over here. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I just physically
you never know that you're my hero.
I physically you feel. Oh my God. My wings. Oh my God. I physically feel lighter when I sing. And so I deserve that. And especially in a time when the world is exploding, I think singing for 30 minutes is perfectly okay.
Hell to the yeah. Like you said, I noticed a difference on days that I prefer to, you know, I'm a morning shower person because I am not a morning person. And I find that it helps, you know, wake me up and
shower concerts
get me in a better place. And I noticed that when I have my morning shower concert, and morning shower concert may be at 11 a.m. or 1 p.m. some days, but when I have my morning shower concert and I sing, you know, for 20 minutes or whatever in the shower, I feel better. I feel more ready.
I'm going to throw you under the bus for the listeners. Brian uses the live concert versions of songs so that he can pretend the applause is for him. So.
Yeah, I do. You're welcome, world.
And that's why I freaking love you. So I have a couple more things to rattle through here. One of them was going to therapy is cool, because I have two therapists now, and I think everyone should have a therapist, especially after this year. I hope if there's anything that comes of this year that's positive, I hope that going to therapy becomes just as routine as going to the dentist. Honestly,
in my case, screw the latter, because I hate the dentist.
I mean, I do too, but you know what I'm saying?
I totally get what you mean, though, because there is this stigma about, you know, mental health. It's like, I read, I'm going to be totally paraphrasing, but I read something the other day where it's like, if your stomach doesn't feel good or whatever, people are sympathetic and they say, why don't you go home early? Why don't you go lay down? Why don't you do whatever? And you don't even necessarily need to take medicine for it. Sometimes you do. Maybe you need some Pepcid. Maybe you need whatever. But it's like, people are so sympathetic to it. Whereas if you're having a bad mental health day, or it's like this stigma, it's like, I think you phrased it really beautifully when you said, you know, I really hope that 2020 provides a shift in the way people think about mental health and the awareness and importance that it has in people's lives. And for some people, therapy is adult coloring books or listening to an audiobook or just chatting with a friend. But from personal experience, I find that being in therapy can really, really help you in ways that you would have never thought possible. And this is coming from someone who was so opposed to therapy years ago. I was like, number one, I don't trust people. You know, like the fact that you are in my circle and you're one of my people speaks volumes, because I'm
fucking awesome. So it is what it is.
But. Well, yeah, toss. I had this mindset of, you know, why would I want to go and sit on a couch from somebody that I don't even know to have me just blab on about woe is me in my life for them to judge me and tell me what they think I should do when they don't know me.
Right.
But it's not even about that. What I have found is that it has absolutely given me tools to help me navigate through life. But it really does help to just like, to talk and vent to someone where there's no expectation of what they're going to say. Because like when you are talking or venting to your mom or your best friend or your partner, it's very different, in my opinion, than talking to or venting to a therapist.
I agree.
It could feel the same way in the moment as you're talking about it, but the outcome of it is very different, because people that love you hopefully have the best of intentions. You know,
they're biased. They don't want to be hurtful for she. Whereas like my therapist that I see on Mondays, she will push me and she will say, well, you know, can you consider this perspective that kind of paints you in a way that you wouldn't want to be seen? Like,
exactly. It opens your eyes to so many different things. It's like that. That's another thing that, you know, I've learned in 2020, or not, I should say maybe relearned, is that it is important to surround yourself with people that think differently than you. Word. It doesn't mean you have to be their best friends or anything, but when it comes for me, I found that in different news outlets, in different podcasts and things, you know, I needed to hear opposing viewpoints and opinions because it allowed me to really think about my own viewpoints and opinions and how I navigate. And again, when you're exposed to different, you know, viewpoints or worldviews on things, that's what challenges you as a human to really think about yourself and to make better decisions and become the better version of yourself. So yeah. That's why I love therapy. It's because, you know, it teaches you to not just see things from your own small worldview, but how it could be perceived by everybody else around you.
Amen. I think this is like a nice little pivot into I only have two more left on my list, but one of mine was change your values and change your life. So just having that willingness to assess what you prioritize and how it dictates the way that you live. So I really went in deep with the personal development in 2020, and I participated in a few personal growth events. Tony Robbins had some virtual events going on, and I realized that I was valuing acceptance and security over love itself. And so how am I operating if I would rather be accepted and safe than just love? You know what I mean? And so in order for me to make more of an impact, how can I more deeply appreciate the life that I have right now? And how can I spread that happiness to other people? And I realized, well, I'm really passionate about doing charity work and giving back. And so in order for me to have more of a financial impact, I need to get myself out of debt. And all it took was just making that decision to get myself out of debt. I've paid off $10,000 in debt this year. And I'm freaking proud of that because I've had this debt on my back for, I mean, I still have a bit of a way to go, but I've had this goal of financial freedom for probably 4 or 5 years, but I never really thought about why do you want to be financially free? Because you want to be able to love people in ways that are out of this world. Like, I want to be able to give $5,000 to a charity. I want to, you know, like, I want to be bigger and I want to be a bigger version of me. And so I need to really think about my values and how I'm operating and how I need to just really focus in and get strategic about my growth.
I think that one of the biggest and most recent things that I've learned is to let go of expectations.
Yes.
In the sense of just because your boss expects this or your family member expects this or whatever, or you expect something of yourself. It's okay, obviously, to create goals and to go after those goals, but there's a difference I feel between a goal and an expectation.
Yes.
And there are these certain mantras, like there's a couple of them that I kind of live by in my daily life. And one of them is that, you know, I want to be a good person, a good partner, a good friend, a good family member, but I can't do that at the expense of other people's expectations. And just because somebody wants or expects something of you and you don't do it, and their opinion may change or shift, their opinion of you may change or shift, that has nothing to do with you.
Right.
In the sense that, like, one of those mantras that I learned in therapy, you know, is that you can control your thoughts and your feelings and your actions and your reactions. You can't control other people's. So why try to manage them?
Truth.
And so even though I want one of the things that I struggle with is when I believe somebody has an idea of who I am that is not cohesive or work with the idea of who I am or have of myself. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that I have to let that go. And it's really hard. it's much easier said than done, but it all goes back letting go of these expectations. It's like, just because I'm your employee, I don't have to do that. Or just because I'm your son, or just because I'm your partner. It all comes back to communication, mm-hmm. you know, and communicating what the expectations are, you know, and communicating how you feel about those things. But I just, if I could share any advice, I guess it would just be that as long as you are trying to be the best person that you can be, as long as you're not actively trying to hurt, harm, upset somebody, then you're fine. Because like I do, another thing I learned in therapy is what was helpful to me was to remove myself from toxic situations, to remove myself from toxic relationships.
I'm reading one of my, one of the submissions that I got, and that's what Trish said. She says, I learned not to be afraid to let go of toxic surroundings, even if I am totally alone. So.
Yeah, because like, and that's what it is. I joke about it because I'm like, I got to get rid of the toxic people, places, things, the toxic nouns in my life.
The toxic nouns. I love that.
Yeah. And it's just when what is hardest for me, and I'm struggling to get the words out because I still struggle with it, is that like, if I don't feel I'm doing anything wrong and I'm not intentionally doing anything wrong, but I upset someone because they have an expectation that whether was or not communicated with me, I can't put it on myself that I upset them when I didn't actually do or not do anything to upset them. They just had an expectation that wasn't met.
Right.
But it was like, one, was that expectation even communicated? And two, was that expectation that you had fair to me? Or was that just a selfish expectation that you wanted for yourself? And if it didn't come true, like if it wasn't fulfilled by me, that doesn't make me a bad person.
Amen.
It means that I was doing what was best for me.
Right.
And that also does not make me selfish.
Yeah.
And because that's the thing too, is that I struggle with, like, if I put myself first, does that mean I'm a selfish person? It's like, no. To be honest, most people put themselves first because, you know, you have to get ahead in this world.
It's like when you're on the airplane, you got to put your own mask on. No pun intended with the mask situation. But
no, but for real. And that, yes, I think that's the way to sum this all up, is that you got to put on your own oxygen mask first. And that's what I've learned in 2020, is that sometimes people are screaming at you to get theirs on first because you should. I'm your boss, you got to give it to me. Or I'm your mom, you got to give it to me. Or I'm your best friend, you got to give it to me. It's like, no, I got to put on mine first, and then we'll talk about getting yours on. You know,
absolutely. I think the last thing that I learned, and it's the one that's out of both of our control, is that good health is a gift. I've lived in a city where there were dead bodies in refrigerated trucks, and knock on wood, by the grace of a higher power, I have not gotten even a cold since March. So I think that is something that I don't take for granted. I mean, obviously, I'm not like eating kale and running 12 miles every day, but I am doing my best to stay healthy, taking my vitamins, getting my enough sleep. When we first went into lockdown, the quarantine weight was real, but it was like, I think I gained like 10 pounds in 6 weeks, but honestly, it was stress.
Girl, I gained the COVID-19. I'm not gonna lie.
But you know what? It was stress, and I've already like lost 8 of those 10 pounds that I've gained just because I allowed myself to relax and to just take care of myself in a way that I know how. And yeah, health is wealth, and health is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all of it. And I'm
and
so
you have
happy.
To, and you have to prioritize it. That's the thing, especially as you get older. It's like we sometimes take for granted in our 20s, you know, that like, well, I'm going to live forever, you know, like, right. I'm going to live forever. But it's, you know, that's another thing I learned. And especially this year, like you said, you have to make your health a priority, because for me, I put a lot of value in myself for the value I put in myself is how much am I helping other people? But like, you can't help others till you help yourself, you know, in the sense that like you can for so long ignore your physical, mental, emotional health by prioritizing everybody else's, but it will catch up to you.
Amen.
It at some point, you know, and for me, especially with COVID-19 and what is happening in our world, I've unfortunately had several family members contract it, and it's like, it puts a lot in perspective. And I think you hit the nail on the head that you gotta prioritize your health, and not just your physical health, but your mental, spiritual, emotional health, because then you're able to better navigate your life, make better decisions, and be there for the people that you care about.
Truth. Okay, I'm going to run through these rapid fire answers really quickly
because
I've kept you over time and I'm so sorry, but
no, worry about it. I love chatting with you.
I love chatting with you too. We would stay on for another 3 hours if it were up to me, but let's just go through these. So Sarah says she learned to let stuff go and to laugh in all circumstances. I think that is so special to be able to just laugh things off, and it's a skill. Sasha says she learned to surrender, overall release the grip. We do not have control of everything. True
that.
Rachel says, buy the chips if you want the chips.
Girl, you know I do.
Brian is a big believer in chips and onion dip. Like, that's all he needs in life. Chris says he learned he's strong as fuck. Yes, you are.
Yeah, get it, Chris.
Whitney says, it's okay not to be okay. You're right. Heather says, family and friendship are worth more than gold. I absolutely agree. I will never take any of my loved ones for granted.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. And as a member of the LGBT community, I need to say that family doesn't just mean blood. And and that somebody said, one of your listeners said earlier, you know, get rid of those toxic things. I have found that there are people that I'm related to that are toxic. And that's why I mentioned earlier in the podcast, chosen family is just as important. So absolutely be grateful for your loved ones, whether they're blood or not.
I love that. Kevin says, slow the F down and savor everything you can.
Yeah.
I read Trisha's earlier. Adrian says, the importance of being quick to adapt to change. Truth. Mm-hmm. Katie says, you are not in control of anything.
I would disagree.
Yeah.
With Katie. I don't think that you're not in control of anything. I think there is so much out of our control.
Right.
But you do have the ability to control little things in your life.
Yeah, I think you're not in control of outside things that happen to you, but you are in control of how you respond to things. Like, yeah. I have seen people who have been on unemployment and have really just risen up and have taken really creative approaches to making money just for out of survival. And I'm not saying that they're better than people that haven't, but it's been so fascinating to see these people say, you know what? I like baking. I'm going to start a bakery business until I can go back to acting school. Or, you know what? I've got a Cricut machine. I can make some personalized gifts for you guys. Like, and I try to empower those people as much as possible because I just freaking love that. I love that tenacity. And I love that, okay, well, you know, I've been dealt a shit hand, but let me serve them a shit sandwich in return, you know, like just being able to put that twist on things and be able to rise up from what was handed to you, I guess. Sorry, this was supposed to be rapid fire and I just went on a tangent, but.
Oh, it's because it's me. I keep interrupting. I'm bad at this.
No, that was me too. Cindy says, She learned to not overthink things. Sarah says, breathe, to not waste time, but still go at your own pace. I know it's a catch-22, but stay present.
I love that.
Me too. Sarah is the bomb. I love you, Sarah. Thanks for adding that. And then the last one, I saved this for last because it really spoke to me, and it spoke to just how I feel about the people in my life and you too. My friend Achilles said, he learned that we are all essential to each other. We are all essential to each other.
And honestly, 2020 has really shown that.
Yeah. Just how much we need other people and how much we can thrive.
Other people's lives affect your own, whether you recognize it, realize it or not.
And how much we can thrive when we properly support one another.
Yes.
I love that. I love you so much, Brian. Seriously.
I love you so much.
Oh, I could talk to you for another hour, but I know you're already a half an hour late to whatever it is you had to do. So I love you so much. Thank you for hanging out with me and for talking about 2020. And
Thank you for having me.
I hope our listeners have found things that resonated with them today. And just be sure to DM me and let me know your thoughts.
Go out there. If you don't have it already, you know, get out there and get a support system. Doesn't have to be family or friends or coworkers, but there is always somebody out there to listen to you, to help you. You just gotta not be afraid to ask for it.
Facts. I love you.
I love you.
My goal for this podcast is to always spread some positive vibes. And to keep that good energy flowing, it would mean a lot to me if you could share this episode with your friends or leave a nice review on iTunes. Or you could always find me on Instagram at Davina Faust and take a screenshot of the episode. But remember, no matter what it looks like for you, your happiness is worth fighting for.